Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
What bugs me a little bit is how the doctors apparently have realized that this is an injury that can get worse were he to continue playing on it. So they noticed something in there. And you know how these things go, that sometimes you get a little weakness or a strained muscle,
sure.
And then it puts pressure on other things. And you say, oh, yeah, well, now it's a stress fracture that has developed because of the cascade of issues in the kinetic chain. It's not good. And when the fact that they made a move like this and said, yeah, you know, we had been talking, but things kind of accelerated when we realized what was going on here. They say 10 days. I always think double.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We got a bunch of baseball talk coming your way, but Mike Florio will have football stuff. Really interesting NFL proposal is on the table that we got to get into that I just find endlessly fascinating, the number of ways to game out an 18-game schedule with a 16-game player participation limit. Start thinking about that.
Yeah.
Let that marinate for a little bit when we get to that at 10 o'clock. Midday, midway at 10:40. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number you can dial if you want to talk to us. Hi, how you doing? At Sports Radio 670 The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. If you want to send a text, you can. 67011. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. The other thing that you have to do is download the radio.com app.
Stop aging your photos.
Yeah, because when you do that,
don't give it away.
You've signed your likeness over.
Yeah, we got that coming up in the midday midway. You want signs of the apocalypse? You want the raging issues of technology bearing down on you? Good Lord, friends, people, folks, stop aging.
Stop doing it.
Your photos.
And you want to see how
stop it.
Nefarious forces can weaponize your
stupidity?
Oh, we're
going to talk about it.
Okay, it's really bad.
It is on the list for 1040. File it away.
But in all seriousness, stop doing it.
Stop. Honestly,
absolutely,
stop
right
doing
away,
it.
Immediately stop doing it.
Also, I look great, by the way. I'm just saying, I'm going to age beautifully.
I look like Eli Wallach.
It's rough.
I look like Eli. Actually, I look a lot like my paternal grandfather. I mean,
really?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, same, actually. That's old Grandpa Mac. That's who I look like.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream the Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We have a video feed. Brian Gertsch directs it at Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com. And we have producers back around the corner somewhere in this building. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
So usually, a nice win for the Cubs last night. Great knock by Kyle Schwarber to end the whole thing. Curses on that guy taking the ball away. We'll get to that in a bit, too.
God.
Just stop, I think. However, I know I'm usually, you know, like pitching guy. I know that I'm usually, you know, how we talk about pitching, and then you look at me, and then it's like, hey, what did you see? How does Alec Mills get around a major league lineup? That is fascinating to me.
By staying out of the heart of the zone,
it really
looked like to me.
You know, I mean, because he got rocked a little bit in that first inning. He was catching way too much of the strike zone and up with something in the 90s. And when it comes to this start, I don't mean to just make this an Alec Mills discussion because it's a little bit larger than that. You pitching infrastructure is what the Cubs have touted here over the last two seasons, right? They've got depth. They couldn't find a place for Mike Montgomery in the rotation, so they sent him to Kansas City to help shore up the catching spot. You have guys here that go down through 6 and 7, and then you got Adbert Alzolay, however you want to line him up in your whole thing. And giving this start to Alec Mills, one that you need, one that Jed Hoyer told you would be part of the defining area of your season.
Right.
It goes to Alec Mills, who's pitched well in AAA. I'm not disparaging the man, but when you look around baseball, kids that come up don't often, they look more like Adbert Alzolay, then they look like Alec Mills. It's really quite something.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
High drive to left. Is it enough? Cubs win! Cubs win! Kyle Schwarber in the 10th.
Puts the biscuit in the basket. First ball he has hit out of the infield tonight.
So it was almost like one of those things. Somebody's got to walk into one. It was going to be hard to string something together, I thought. So it was definitely within the realm of possibility. And, of course, it did happen. Whoever thought about that basket, whenever that occurred, tell them thank you. Although it did work against us. But when it works for you, it's awesome.
That was Kyle Schwarber's first ever Major League walk-off hit of any kind.
As many big hits as that guy's had, I couldn't believe that was just, because I heard it, I read it, and I was like, well, no, because there was the one in, well, no, that was just to go, and then there was the, no, that was also just to go ahead in the set. Like, I could have sworn, I would have sat here for minutes telling you that Schwarber had a walk-off at some point in his Cubs career.
And you'd be wrong.
I would have absolutely been wrong. So the ball barely gets into the basket. I mean, if it's not there, it clangs off the wall or gets stuck in the ivy or something like that. And Joe's right, thanks to the folks who put the basket up there on the wall.
And the basket is there not to catch baseballs.
No.
It's there to catch fans.
It's there to catch Mai Tai guy if the game goes into the 19th. That's what it's there for. The hell with that guy. I mean, what is he doing? If you haven't seen it, watch the video. Schwarber, you probably
Mai Tai is trending in Chicago Twitter.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is. So Schwarber hits it. It's left center field, right over the Gallagher insurance sign. And there are two kids leaning over the wall to try and grab this baseball, right?
The walk-off into
winner.
The basket.
Yeah, leaning
not onto
over
the field to play.
Right, over the wall, into the basket to try and grab this baseball. Some dude who I imagine has had six or seven Mai Tais, even though the jersey number on the back is zero. It says Mai Tai guy on the jersey, and he rips the ball away from one of the kids who's nearly got it in his hands.
What does a Mai Tai cost at Wrigley these days? $11?
I don't know. It's been a while since I've been up in the area they sell Mai Tais. It's got to be around there.
If that guy goes to every game and drinks enough Mai Tais to be known as Mai Tai guy, That's a lot of discretionary income.
Good for him.
A ton.
Well, he's clearly got enough to buy his own jersey, so that's something for you. I don't know how you take a ball from a kid. I really don't. And then storm away and march up the stands. You go straight up the steps, like without a care in the world, happy that the Cubs walked one off. Ugh, it's a little gross.
It's really gross. I mean, you're celebrating the fact that you got a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
By taking it from children.
Yeah, not sure what you're going to do with it. I mean, you saw what we did when we did the show from the bleachers a month ago.
Yeah, and yeah, that was Craig Kimbrell Day.
Right, it was Craig Kimbrell Day. That was a happy Theo Day.
It was a very happy Theo
And day. Tomorrow we'll have Theo, by the way, at 11, so I think we'll have happy Theo tomorrow. We've had.
I hope for it being happy Theo, yeah.
That would be our.
Be nice.
That'd be nice. Although he's great when he's not. He's actually better when he's unhappy.
Upset, angry Theo is actually pretty interesting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, angst-ridden Theo is good Theo. But when you see the face of a little kid, and regardless of whether or not they play baseball or care, just when you see that kid's face and when they get a ball, that is, if you get more joy from having a ball than from giving a child a baseball, what's wrong with you?
Everyone in the shot, everyone in the bleachers is cheering and screaming and having the time of their lives, except for the two kids that he took a ball from.
I'm never going to defend a guy with Mai Tai guy on his jersey, but just generally speaking, the whole thing of like this guy took a ball for, or didn't give a ball to a kid and calling him out and shaming him. Maybe he's got a kid at home.
Maybe.
Now, Mai Tai guy, what he did was a jerk move. Took the ball from the kid's glove and then sort of taunted about the whole thing. But I'm just saying, in general, if you see a fan catch a ball and not necessarily seek out a child to give it to, I don't know if they should be torn apart on social media.
That's a good perspective.
Right, if I caught a fall ball, I'd want to bring it home to my daughter.
Or it will be checked.
Or it's possible he's got, or a friend's kid is in the hospital awaiting surgery on a neuroblastoma.
I'm going to get an obvious shirt printed that says, I have a daughter at home. If I catch a ball, it's for her.
Just put
so
that
if it
right
happens,
on the
I'll
front.
Just show it on TV. Oh, is this okay? Thumbs up? I don't need to be torn apart on Twitter because of this?
Yeah,
okay,
when my son was of a certain age, you know, back when it was enough, he had enough baseballs. He was lucky enough to be in a situation where he just, it was enough. And our house is full of baseballs. It was too many baseballs. And we'd go to a game, probably when he was around 10. And I said, if you get a ball, I want you right now, as the game starts, find the kid to whom you will give the ball. I always
like
made
a pregame
it,
scout.
Yeah, a pregame
kind of thing.
Scout. I said, yeah. I want you to identify the kid to whom you will give the ball because you got enough baseballs.
I do. You do have to do that look. You do have to do that scouting report when you're looking around. Like, how many seats away does a kid have to be before you don't have to give the ball to them? Do you have the kid at home? Are you wearing Jay's obvious shirt, letting everyone know that you have the child at home? See, that's the thing, though, Jay. For every guy like you who understands that and comes with it like a well-reasoned, hey, maybe let's not kill people on the radio show and Twitter, there are people who will buy that shirt so that they just get to keep a bunch of baseballs. You know what I mean?
That's
there's,
true.
There's the guy, the Mai Tai guy turns into I stole a shirt from Jay Zawoski so that I can keep a bunch of baseballs.
New adjustment to the rule, you have to produce a birth certificate for your child before purchasing the shirt.
It's a baseball birther? All right, I can get behind it.
All right, there's a lot of text that are blowing in here. 773 says, Mai Tai guy is a fixture in the left field bleachers, always there. No doubt he's been the recipient of many balls before. I've personally seen him catch a warm-up between innings ball thrown to him by Schwarber. 773 says, he gives kids balls every day. He's a good guy. He doesn't deserve this.
Huh. All right. Well-reasoned, well-excused.
847, so should they put baskets in all stadiums, Dan, or just for the drunk Cub fans? Easy. Tough guy. I'm just telling you, that's
why it's there.
It just happens to be why it was put there. I don't know exactly when. I don't know what was determined. It might have been a Bears game also. I'm just saying, that's why they didn't want fans falling on the field.
Done. Over and done. They had a security concern. They put a basket up there. Also out in the outfield last night was one terrific, unbelievable catch by Albert Almora. This was just shy of the basket, but only by feet. It was a hell of a catch and a hell of a call on both television and radio. But it brought to mind something this Cubs team has been doing very well since the break, but at the same time, a little bit of a detriment in their style of play that they've got to shore up regardless of what Theo and crew do right before the trade deadline here, and even with one trade already checked into the box. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here comes the 1-1 from Mills. Fly ball, deep right center off the bat of Votto. Going back toward the track is Almora on the track. Slides and makes a sensational catch. What a play by Albert Almora Jr. After a long run of about 110 feet, he slid on the warning track, slid up against the wall, somehow made the catch. You won't see a better play if you watch 100 games.
It was perfection. I saw the replay on the board, and I told him, I said, you ran a perfect route in a straight line, but did you notice the two peaks? He was running, peak, and then he knew exactly what he had to do. That was outfield play 101.
Ball.
Pretty good stuff there.
What a terrific run on that ball for Albert Almora. You saw the defense last night. I mean, whether it was the Baez relay throw home and
the tag,
like just a and a perfect skip too. I mean, that ball hits just in front of brand new Cubs catcher Martin Maldonado so he can make the play at the plate and get Alec Mills out of that first inning that could have ballooned into something worse than three runs. Cubs won it 4-3 on a walk-off shot from Kyle Schwarber, which we will continue talking about because a fan made himself known. Let's see, you've got the Hayward play coming in. He was terrific against the Pirates all weekend long, and then he comes in on another ball from Votto, nearly got it. And I applaud Hayward's ability to come in on a baseball and the aggressiveness to go get it at that situation in the game. And then he keeps it in front of himself and gets it in so that there's not another 90 feet taken.
90 feet. That should be something we respect.
Yeah,
it really
might need to be, because as good as the defense looked last night in most places, and that's absolutely something that has to be ratcheted up, tightened down. It just needs to be there for this team, given the pitching and given the offense that has kind of been in spurts a little bit this season. You can't have the little things, the marginal 90 feet, go by the wayside. And late in that game, when a ball gets through the wickets and Amora standing there, either unable to find it or without the thought in his head to just take off anyway, if the pitch is going to be down there for strike three and you swung at it, you got to take off. So it's this weird kind of, you know, Joe's
that guy, too.
He has to be.
Almora's the, you know, heart on the sleeve, always show how disappointed I am when something goes wrong. That's his whole thing.
No doubt. And Almora has to be that guy that is on base, that doesn't cost you that second out.
He's leading off today.
If the ball gets away. Yeah, lineup is out. Almora is leadoff and in center field. Baez at short. Bryant in left. Rizzo 4 at first base. Caratini 5. Hayward 6 in right field, Russell at second base, David Bodie will have third, and it is Yu Darvish on the bump after his, what do you want to call it, best start of the season?
Yes.
I think it might have been.
Yes.
Best start of the season on Friday against the Pirates. He was terrific.
If you're going to be the manager that literally has named your foundation Respect 90, I always wonder, how are you managing the situations when your players are not doing that?
It's, you know, I mean, there's different rules for different players. There are. Always have been in sports. You don't like to talk about it. Some people don't like to hear about it, I suppose. But there are different rules for different players. And Joe's in a spot where he's got to have some pretty elite defense, according to his lineups, according to what he likes. He's got to have some pretty elite defense in select spots. That's why, you know, that's why I don't think you see him maybe making as many calls as some other managers might. They got to win games.
This segment's brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Bill on Capitol Hill is out this morning. Morning, Bill. What's up?
Hello, lads. How's the empire?
It's a mess.
No, absolutely.
You can be racist. You just can't call anyone racist. It's a hell of a republic to live in. Dan, you once referred to watching the Cubs World Series celebration as like being a Jew on Christmas.
Correct.
And I'm listening to the LOI go down in flames last night, and I'm feeling a lot like a Jew in Egypt. Like, why is God doing this to us? What is happening?
Where's your Messiah now?
No.
She's not, Dave. Like, I never wrote free will.
I mean, like, it's like the Book of Job. I'm just waiting for us all to get lesions or something like that. I mean, like, the concern I have is sort of, you know, among the four Sox fans on the planet, there's this sort of rumbling argument about how bad Ricky Renteria is, and you know, and I don't want to oversimplify it. I mean, because you know, it's a nuanced argument. Like, some people, you know, the conservatives believe he's only like a 10th-rate intelligence, but you know, the rest of us believe he's like a 20th. But like, I'm worried not just about, you know, God's ongoing curse on this team, but the developmental aspects of this team. I mean, they're ninth worst in on-base percentage last night. I mean, as of last night, and you know, he's still giving away bunting outs, right?
Yep.
And you know, they don't. They're dead worst in actually drawing walks. And as much as you know, I'm willing to sort of embrace the suck, as painful as it is. I'm worried that like the developmental opportunities are being wasted here. Well, anyway, lads, be well.
You too, man.
See you, Bill.
I think it's fair when you actually are noting where they are relative to industry trend as far as drawing walks and as far as getting on base and as far as not giving away outs. But Ricky Renteria is not responsible for Kopech and Dunning and Rodon and these guys getting hurt. And he's not responsible for having to play Eloy Jimenez in left field, despite the fact he's not communicating with his center fielder. He's got to be listening. And you got to be able to do it in English and Spanish.
It's not your ball, man.
No, it's not your ball. And whether he's saying, I got it, mine, or Yo La Tengo, or members of Yo La Tengo, whatever he's saying, pelota, he's got to know that's Charlie Tilson's war.
It's
his job.
Nice. It very much is, and Aloy is incredibly smart, so I wouldn't doubt that he's out there in whatever language he needs to have out there. Thing of it is, it's not his baseball, and whether instincts take over or just don't exist, they have to be. That's where, as far as development goes on that curve, it's defense for me that is as alarming as anything else for the White Sox. You have players who have otherwise been decent defensively who haven't gotten better and in some case have gotten worse. Yolmer Sanchez had a horrible start to the season defensively. Tim Anderson's defense has been something to watch for his entire career, and whether or not he can go up a tier is still very much in question. The average, the on-base, the slugging, the bunting, I think some of that will naturally go away when you have better hitters getting into the big leagues. But defensively, Steve Stone was talking about it last night as the White Sox were trying to kill Dylan Cease with errors. Like, that is an issue, and it can't exist while you're trying to bring up better pitchers.
In Bloomingdale, it's Andy on the score.
Hey, guys. You were talking about the basket. And you know what? I remember going to the game. I think it was 67. And we know my sister might have been 13, 14, maybe about 14 years old. It was a madhouse before the game out there. You'd hang over the side. And you take your program, put a hole in the corner of it, and hand it down a string with a pen attached to it, and people would just push you. Well, they pushed my sister over the side, and she didn't even get hurt. I don't know how it's possible, you know, other than bruises. They walked her around, signed a baseball for her, but it was great not having that basket there. I mean, you'd hang over the side as a kid, and they'd come out to the plate, would come out before the game, sign your programs, you know, by bringing them down with a string, and they would just come out and sign for you. It was great without the basket. I think better without the basket.
Well, apparently what happened was in 69, when the top of the brick wall was flat, fans used to race each other running along the top of the wall, and they installed the baskets in 70 because it was too common to have people either on the field by accident or on purpose.
Idiot!
And it wasn't right away in 70 either. Apparently, the home opener in 1970 had an event where fans just jumped all onto the field, and there was this kind of like fights with players and ushers or umpires, I think. First game played with the basket was May 7th, 1970. So there were issues even then.
Mike Florio has all kinds of football stuff for us with a fascinating proposal on the table. We will get into it with the legal mind that is Mike Florio, everything else going on in the NFL. There's so much more baseball we have to get to. We have to get to that little rules interpretation last night and how that was discussed. And
yeah, you're going to have to talk me off the wall on that one.
Ned Yost.
Oh.
We have absolute more.
Neddy?
More gold from Ned Yost.
And Neddy.
I don't think we're really going to be making fun of him.
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm prepared to eat crow when it comes to Ned Yost.
Oh, I'm not.
But a fantastic human achievement.
I will never go that far. But Mike Florio is next with some really cool football stuff on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.